ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मेतयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तं ह देवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये।
वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग दि दक्षिणामूर्ति स्तोत्रम्। वी हैव बीन स्टडीइंग इंपॉर्टेंस ऑफ दि स्टडी ऑफ दि एनालिसिस ऑफ दि डीप स्लीप कॉल्ड सुषुप्ति। ऑल ऑफ अस वी आर अंडर द इंप्रेशन दि वेकिंग स्टेट इज दि ओनली रियालिटी, dream state is not. Of course, the deep sleep does not have any impact upon us, but it is for nothing that the Vedantins said that deep sleep is called karana sharira. Karana means cause. The whole life of waking as well as a dream, they spring only out of this. Why? From the Vedantic point of view, in this deep sleep state lie the real nature of the human being, or in other words, we are nearest to our being in this deep sleep state. The reason for that is avidya or maya has two powers. One power is that of covering, another is that of projecting. The covering part is there in deep sleep, but the projecting power is not there. That means 50% of the maya is absent in deep sleep, and that is why there is no duality, because there is no cognition of the body and mind, and that is why we feel so happy, that happiness which is indescribable. We cannot even label it as happiness. It is called peace that passeth all understanding. There is absolutely no difference between samadhi and deep sleep, excepting for one caveat. First, deep sleep is not in our control. It doesn't come when we wish to come. In fact, it comes when we do not wish it to come. And we cannot keep it. It controls when to give jiva deep sleep and when to wake him up. Whereas in samadhi, the man becomes atman and he becomes the master, and he controls when to go into samadhi, when not into go samadhi. Even that statement is inadequate, because samadhi means pure knowledge, right knowledge. Once right knowledge comes, the question of going out of right knowledge, coming back into right knowledge, doesn't arise. Simple logic. When a person goes from this room to that room, he leaves this room and goes to the next room. But when a person leaves right knowledge, there is only one room, and that is called impure knowledge, wrong knowledge, false knowledge. No one can travel from right knowledge to false knowledge. This is a fundamental law of evolution. Everyone travels from false knowledge to right knowledge, never in the reverse way. Deep sleep has limitations, but it does give us a glimpse into what pure being is. That is to say, I am not the body, I am not the mind, etc. So we put all our energies into the study of the waking state, but completely neglect that wonderful state that is called deep sleep state. So here we have discussed certain important lessons we have to learn from the study of this deep sleep state. And now we will continue. In the deep sleep state, maya means the power of maya. It doesn't cover the atman entirely. It only covers the chit or awareness part, and to some extent the ananda part. But the sat part, I am, will be there. But I did not know anything. That is coverance of the chit, not completely again, but only to say, even to know I know or I do not know, there must be pure consciousness behind. But this deep sleep state is like the pure consciousness peeping through a blackened hole, peep hole. So because the peep hole is black, this person sees only everything as black. For example, at night, you may have even a bigger peephole, but when you look through it, you see nothing but darkness. So what is that light? That light is the light of pure consciousness, which is manifest in the form of body and mind. And that being absent, the only thing that he can say, I am the peeper, I am there. But when I peep, I do not see anything. That's what is expressed, nakinchit avidisham, I do not see anything. So, this is an important point for us to understand. The sat can never be covered. Because if sat is covered, it is a state of non-existence, which is unthinkable, unimaginable. Next point. In sleep, there is no gap. What does it mean? Gap of what? Gap of the person. Yesterday, I gave a hint about this. X or Rama goes into deep sleep. And who wakes up? Krishna doesn't wake up. But we think there is a gap. And very learned people, they base their school of philosophy. So when there is nothing to experience, because there is no experience, they wrongly conclude the experiencer is also absent. This equation of the subject and object, the experienced and the experiencer is the problem. Whereas in Vedanta, categorically it is stated and proved through logic also, even when there is no experience, the experiencer is there to state, there is nothing for me to experience. The object is not there, but the subject is not absent. Very much present to cognize. And that is why there is no gap. That's why we say, I slept yesterday night, and I woke up this morning, that I, X, Y, Z, Rama, Krishna, etc., there is no gap at all. But for the sake of argument, if we say there is a gap, then it is very funny even to imagine. Rama went into deep sleep and Krishna woke up and says that I slept very well. Rama never becomes Krishna. Rama cannot be absent. Krishna cannot come into Rama's mind and body and say, I am going to experience deep sleep of this particular person. Now, how do we know? How do we prove that we are there? So that is where we have to discuss a little bit, very briefly, about memory. As I already mentioned, experience and memory are invariably related. Where there is experience, there would be memory. When there is no experience, there would be no memory. Can you recollect something you never experienced? It is impossible. But of course, some so-called thinking persons may say, yes, yes, I remember that such and such a person had visited Mount Everest and experienced bliss. This statement is a wrong statement because it's not your experience, so it is not your memory. You read it, somebody's writing, and you swallowed it, and you are only telling what he should tell. It is not your memory. It is that person's memory. That's why in this world there is a law. Every person's experience is absolutely personal and private. Therefore, everybody's experience manifests only as that person's particular and private subjective memory. Memory and experience are invariably related. But there is only one caveat. It is the experience that comes first and memory comes later on. And that memory, even if the person happens to forget, it is not because memory is lost. The mechanism to recollect the memory is defective. That's what we have to understand. And it is very interesting. Nowadays, a lot of studies are going on. For example, there is a person whose memory is lost, you know, due to diseases like Alzheimer's, etc. The memory is completely lost. An old person or a person suffering cannot remember who the other persons are. Consequently, this is the most wonderful thing. When we do not remember our parents, etc., it is very likely that we do not know who we are. There are only two conditions in this world of existence, human existence. The first condition is that we are really Atman. That is what the scripture tells. That's not our personal experience. But our personal experience is, I am so and so. So I am this body, look, this body looks like this, it is of this age, and it is fair looking or black looking, of this height, of this weight, fat to thin, and ugly or beautiful, whatever. Then come associations. I am an Indian, I am born to these parents, I am a Hindu, and I live at this place. This is my wife or husband, these are my children, these are my friends, relatives, this is my office. Our, what we call I, the whole personality is invested in this particular word I. And this false I, which is far removed from our true nature, which is the Atman, is totally dependent upon external factors, in simple factors called body and mind. Remember, there is no world apart from body and mind. So when this consciousness forgets what I am and gets associated with body, mind, all these things will happen. Now, all these things are in the memory. I look like this, etc. Many times I mentioned very interesting fact that if anyone has never seen his photograph or his reflection in a mirror, if someone takes a photograph of that person and shows it to that person and asks that person, do you know who this person is? He will never ever be able to say, this is me, because he had never seen his face. And most of the identification comes only from the face. 99% it is the face only that is identified. That's why face recognition. And that is why evil things like Facebook, which is the projecting power of Maya, is very much manifested in social media applications like Facebook, Instagram, Telegram. Horrible things, I tell you. If you are a member of any of these things, you are inundated with most dangerous things, not merely innocent things, most dangerous things. But such is the nature of many of our devotees, they will rather give up their life rather than give up these things. Now coming back, of course there are a few good uses are there, like my sending the WhatsApp application message. These are good things. But if anybody strays, if you are a member, there are people who are ready to drown you in unwanted information. But if it is used properly, that's fine. It is just like the body, just like the mind. They are the best instruments for us, either for yoga or bhoga or roga. Depends upon how we use them. Coming back now, a person's false identity, ego, egotism we call it, ahankaraha, not aham, but ahankaraha, is totally dependent upon this memory of what the body looks like and ideas. I am the child of so-and-so, friend of so-and-so, spouse of so-and-so, worker of such and such a factory or office, etc., etc. And when this disease called forgetfulness comes, because the person's entire identity is identified with this false identity, as soon as the forgetfulness of all false identities take place, then that person, with accepting saying, I am, he can never say anything. There was a curious incident. Once a small boy entered Sri Ramakrishna's room because he hoped, he saw previously many people gathering there and eating nice sweets. So in the hope of that, he came. He did not notice Sri Ramakrishna was sitting on his bed, but Sri Ramakrishna noticed him and said, who are you? He could blabber, it is me. Never to say, my name is so-and-so, I am a boy, and I have come with my aunt, etc. It is me. And if anybody says it is me, a grown-up person says it is me, then you are not likely to entertain him at all, because that makes no sense. Me, identified with a particular body, mind, circumstances, country, religion, education, job, etc. That is what makes us sense, and that is what makes us develop relationships, which we are going to discuss in our next shloka. Man and memory. If memory is gone, man is gone. He doesn't know. Of course, from the Vedantic point of view, no man becomes non-existent. But then he is in between the state. At least previously I had some false identity. I was so and so. And since memory is not available, I can only say I will never be able to describe my CV that this is what I am. So memory is very important. But memory is important in another way also. We are all advised to remember God all the time, 24 hours. Asuptehe amritehe. Nayet kalam brahma chintaya, vishnu chintaya, kali chintaya, krishna chintaya, shiva chintaya, christ chintaya, whatever it is. Contemplation of the divine lord. But unfortunately, memory has that power. If that mechanism is not working, then we will not be anything, and we can't relate ourselves to the world. As well, we cannot relate with God also, because that is the tragedy of it. But not to lose hope, because according to Hindu belief, and it is a fact, though we cannot prove it, this is a very passing phase, temporary phase. Perhaps this person had to live in that world for some time because of some prarabdha. Once this body falls off, then he will be given a fresh chance, 24 hours a day, until death occurs. That is why punarjanma is the most marvelous thing in the whole world. God will give infinite opportunities to be born infinite number of times, so that all of us will catch up with our true nature and attain Him. So we spoke about memory. What is the point here? In deep sleep, memory is not lost. It is not affected by anything. But it was necessary for the person to be very free, get more than sufficient rest, and nature kindly had provided. What does it provide? It suppresses the memory of the false ego, memory of the body, mind, and everything related to the body and mind. That's all. And that's a temporary period. But the real I, always sanmatraha, I am, will be there. Even though all the karanas, karana means instruments. Instruments mean body and mind. Both the body and mind, that comprises the entire instruments. When they are not there, for a short time, the mind, a subtle mind called karana sharira, subtlest mind, it experiences ineffable, unimaginable, indescribable state of bliss beyond sukha and dukkha. The only caveat, it is temporary. Anybody can wake such a person up. Any loud noise can break the deep sleep. If not, nature itself will wake up that person. So, another next point we have to understand by the study of deep analysis of this deep sleep is, this universal experience of sleep is, I slept happily, I did not know anything. Notice it, I am repeating it. I slept happily, I did not know anything. In the waking state, as well as in the dream state, we need the support, the help, and we have to depend upon objects for our either happiness or unhappiness. But here is a beautiful state where there are no objects at all, either physical or gross or subtle. And yet, the person says, I slept happily. It's a most marvelous statement. Remember, the person must have been in a state of happiness to be able, he must have experienced intense happiness, continuous happiness, unbroken happiness, and that is called bliss, for several hours at a time. Remember, this several hours is from the viewpoint of the waking state only. Several hours this person, he was experiencing continuously. And then here is something very important. When you say, I am continuously experiencing, it has a deep meaning. Supposing you are watching a movie, let us say a cricket match on the TV, and you are continuously experiencing that cricket match for, let us say, a few hours. But even though you are saying, I was watching only one thing, that is cricket, but every millisecond, the scenario has been changing in that situation. Remember that scenario. The ball is moving, and here and there, some people are trying to catch it, deflect it, etc., etc. There is not a single moment of rest. In other words, it is the continuous experience of continuously changing scenarios. experiencer is continuously experiencing what? Continuously changing scenarios. Now compare it with this deep sleep state. There are no scenarios. There are no objects. That experience is continuous, unbroken, one particular vritti called nidra vritti. And it is because it is continuous, that word continuous is a laden word with deep meaning. Because it is continuous, the time will not be there. When we experience separate events, then time comes. In that second I experienced that, and next second I experienced this, third second I experienced another event, but in deep sleep, there is no time. So, what are we talking about? Time and changefulness go together. And beyond time and changelessness, they go together. So this continuous experience, even that word continuous is a useless word, redundancy. We have to say experienced happiness. Don't say continuous, because continuous indicates indirectly changing. Now I experienced Rasagulla, now I am reading a good book, now I am watching a wonderful movie. All positive experiences, but completely separate experiences. Happiness is continuous, but continuous in a discontinuous way. Whereas this, because there is only one vritti, only one thought, only one experience, and it is beyond time, it is beyond space, and it is beyond causation. That's why some people mistake it as a form of samadhi. It is nearer to samadhi, not samadhi. Yesterday I mentioned how Swami Vivekananda defined. Deep sleep retains still as soon as we wake up, we are the same old people, wise or otherwise. But in samadhi, every otherwise person becomes a wise person. Every Buddha becomes a Buddha, an illumined person, a wise person, a person who knows God, who knows his own nature. That is the definition of samadhi. So continuous experience is there. That's why time is not there. That is why it is the most marvelous experience. This is the only time, albeit unconsciously, we experience a state which is called beyond time and beyond space. What a marvelous thing if you come to think about it. During the waking state, Jagradavastha, during the dream state, Swapnavastha, all our experiences are ever-changing, discontinuous but continuous, continually changing. But this is, that means we are within the boundaries of time, space and causation. But deep sleep is one state. Their continuous, that word continuous as I mentioned, is only to indicate that there is no gap. It is also a limited word, but we have no option to describe it excepting through that way. So in that state, as if I do not exist. But as I mentioned, the subject can exist without the object. The object has no existence without the subject. So this is a wonderful study which the scientists have to wake up and try to understand. In deep sleep, there are two things are there. One is ajnana and another is happiness. And what is ajnana? Sri Ramakrishna gives most marvelous definitions. Ajnana is to know many things. Jnana is to know the only real thing. So a person who knows many things very deeply is called a specialist. And usually we say he is a very learned person, knowledgeable person. But that person is not, according to Sri Ramakrishna, or not knowledgeable person. That is why when Sri Ramakrishna asks M, what type of wife is yours? And he said, albeit unwittingly, did not mean anything bad. She is very good person, but I am afraid she is ajnani. And Sri Ramakrishna's axe had come down immediately on the head of M. And you are a man of knowledge, you are a jnani. And M admits himself, M did not know, I did not know. What is the main, real meaning of who is a person who knows and what is called a learned person, an ignorant person. He who doesn't know what is his nature is an ignorant person. He who knows what he is in reality, that is called a knowledgeable person. That is what we are talking here. There is ajnana means there is absence of the body mind, so by proxy the world, but he doesn't know who he is. Only, as I mentioned many times, only that power of maya, which is called avarana, covering power is there. That's why my mind is not distracted, but I don't know who I am really. This is the reason, but very near to our Advaita state. So in this deep sleep Advaita, there is ignorance, that is to say there is no duality, no doubt, but there is no non-duality, that is to say my true nature. Non-duality is absent. Duality is absent. That is why it is called a state of prajna. And even that state, because of the absence of second thing or duality, gives continuous happiness. What a marvelous analysis. I am repeating many words because these deep meanings have to go into our mind. In this deep sleep state, we go beyond time, space and its annexation, causation. Time, space, causation. That's what the mind is. Though we use the word mind, mind, it really means time, space and causation. A prism which is consisting of time, space and causation. And whatever is experienced, whether it is body and by proxy through the sense organs of the body, this entire universe falls within that range, limitation of these five sense organs. So when this mind, which is constituted of time, space and causation, is absent, that state is called deep sleep. That means there is no time, space and causation. But at the same time, the jiva doesn't know who he really is. He doesn't identify with the duality. At the same time, he doesn't know what is his nature. And yet, this state is much nearer to the state of duality, which is called waking and dream. And that's why this state gives so much of joy. As the Upanishad so beautifully describes, in this state, all the so-called identities drop. A king is no king, a pauper is no pauper, a scholar is no scholar, an illiterate is no illiterate, a husband is not a husband, a wife is not a wife, a mother is not a mother, a child is not a child. That means complete absence of duality. Where there is no duality, there is no relationship. And where there is no relationship, there is no problem. Here is a very important point for all of you to note down. There is no relationship without a problem. And where there is a problem, there is a relationship. Problem and relationship, they always go together. Supposing, just putting it a lighter way, a person is not married. All the problems related to marriage are completely gone. Why? Marriage means forging many more unwanted, unnecessary relationships. Husband, wife, children, in-laws, etc., etc. The whole many worlds come along with that marriage. Not only words come, worlds will come. And worlds means relationship. Words also mean relationship. All relationships are completely absent in this state because there is no relationship. Why is there is no relationship? Because there is no second one. Relationship always implies the presence or existence of two separate things, and when they come together, some connection is established, and if it is a positive connection, there would be positive benefit or result. If it is negative, negative result. The whole thing is comprised into words raga and dvesha, sukha and dukkha. So in deep sleep, there is no raga dvesha, there is no sukha dukkha, and that is an important point. Okay. Now the next point we have to understand is that in the waking state and dream state, we have to depend heavily upon an object. Here is a person where there is no object. There is no object at all. And yet he says, upon waking up, I slept happily. He doesn't say, mind you, there is no time during the deep sleep. Therefore, he doesn't say, for 10 minutes during the deep sleep, I was very happy. He doesn't say that. He says, so long as the deep sleep loss, I was experiencing continuous, unbroken state of happiness. What does it prove? It proves this false notion. We require objects to be happy. Of course, by proxy, we also require objects to be unhappy. When we are united with desirable objects or what we desire, we are happy. When we are united with undesirable objects, we are unhappy. That is a common experience, universal experience, both in the waking and dream states. In dreamless state, there is no object, yet continuous happiness is there. That's why we have to take note. Most people drink to forget all the worries and to be in this state where is only one continuous, albeit induced by that chemical, by the drink or drug of unbroken happiness, and that creates tremendous amount of addictiveness. And curiously, that's what happens. Modern psychologists discovered when a person has undergone through a horrendous experience and he cannot tolerate it, he cannot stand it, nature comes to him and then covers him with what is called total loss of memory of that experience, and that is how a person becomes happy. Notice, supposing a beloved spouse is dead, all of a sudden, if he is an old person, there is some consolation. If he is a newly married person, some accident, somebody killed, something happens, whatever be the reason, just imagine what an amount of horrendous experience, whether it is the wife or the husband, and I have seen personally how it can affect the minds of the people. This person goes on inconsolably sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and what happens? The Divine Mother, Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu, Nidra Rupena Samstita, takes pity upon that person and embraces that her child, takes the child into her lap in the form of Nidra, and what happens? The person is extremely happy, continuously happy, until the memory comes back upon waking up. And this is granted to everybody, a saint, a sinner, an ignorant person, a learned person, a powerful person, a powerless person. This experience is given to everybody by Divine Mother, because in the eyes of the Divine Mother, good and evil and saints and sinners, they never exist. All are my children. She gives equally 24 hours to everybody, and she gives everybody this tremendous experience of being nearer to one's own self. What a marvelous state it is. And during the waking state, we take ourselves to be an agent of various actions and the enjoyers of the results of all our actions. All these things completely are disappeared. This is a very important point. During the waking state as well as in the dream state, exactly the same thing continues. Vikshepa Shakti of the Divine Mother works. Vikshepa Shakti means taking oneself as somebody else, something else, and everything connected with that something else. So, simple example I will give you. Supposing there is a school and there is a headmaster, and the headmaster is not efficient, so the higher authorities decide to remove him and put him somebody else. The new person comes. That's fine. He is the new headmaster now. But all the things associated, problems, troubles, shortcomings, everything associated with that school also come with that post, headmaster. So if there is, as one of our Swamis say, there is head, there will be headache. If there will be tooth, there will be toothache. There is stomach, there will be stomachache. If there are hands and legs, romantic pains will be there. So it is inevitable, inescapable. But during this deep sleep state, a person thinks, but doesn't think, he experiences. What does he experience? That I am not my possessions. Earlier, remember in the earlier shloka that deha, prana, manaha, buddhihi, chalam, buddhihi, and as well as shunyam, all these classifications. What happens during this deep sleep state? That abhimana. Abhimana means I and mine. And interestingly, this is what Sri Ramakrishna was trying to teach us during this gospel class. What is ignorance? I and mine. What is knowledge? That I am a devotee, I am a jnani, I am a servant, dasa of God. Simple words Sri Ramakrishna is telling, what the Vedanta Shastras are hard to put to explain these things. During the deep sleep, we get a glimpse of our true nature. What is my true nature? I am not the body and mind. And that is being expanded upon analysis of this Sushupti state. So during the waking state, I take myself to be the agent. I am the doer. I am the knower. I am the enjoyer. These things will go. And everything like, this is me, this is my family, and these are my possessions. So the notions of me and mine, I and mine, the abhimana, that I am so and so related to all these things, becomes completely absent, totally absent during the deep sleep state. And what is this abhimana? Abhimana means identity. This body is me, this is called dehabhimana. This mind is me, this house is mine, this called grihabhimana. This is my wife, jayabhimana. This is my husband, bhartrabhimana. This is my daughter, duhitabhimana, etc., etc. That is gone. Then the person says, I am not the body, that is gone. I am not the prana, that is gone. I am not the sense organs, that is gone. I am not the mind or thoughts, that is gone. I am the buddhi, intellect, that is gone. Everything connected with what we call the gross, the subtle, and the causal body, or what is called annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha, completely gone. But as I said, even though this false identity is gone, real identity has not dawned. But even that gives such a wonderful idea of happiness, continuous happiness. In the deep sleep experience, the Atman is essentially, Atman means me, is essentially unattached. Unattached means you have to understand deeply. There is a wise person, he has got a body, he has got a family, he can say, they are there, but this is my house, this is my wife, these are my children, but I am completely unattached. That is a lower meaning of what is called unattachment or non-attachment. But the higher meaning is, there are no things like that. They do not even exist. So that is why, mano buddhi ahankara chittani naham. That is the truth, so emphatically presented to us by God, when, day after day, every single day, in the form of sleep means deep sleep. If only we pay attention, think about it, analyze it, and derive our lessons, deep sleep is a most marvelous state. We have to learn a lot of lessons. What is the first lesson? That even though I do not have a body, even though I do not have a mind, by proxy, there is no object related with these things. I am so happy, not only happy, continuously happy, until again I come back to this waking and dream states and again suffer. So, analysis of deep sleep is a very important topic in the teachings of the Upanishads. That's why the whole of Mandukya Upanishad, it is the one of the shortest Upanishads, consisting of how many mantras? Only 12 mantras. And yet, it is the toughest and deepest Upanishad, endowed with the deepest meaning, and the whole Mandukya Upanishad is devoted only to one subject, analysis of waking state, dream state, and dreamless state. And what is that analysis? Some of the most important points we have found out here. What is it in deep sleep state? I am not the waking state. I am not the dreaming state. I am not the dreamer. I am not the waker. But as soon as we say that, we also have to necessarily say, even when we do not say it, I am also not a sleeper. Remember, only when there is something else, I have to declare, I am so and so. If there is nobody, imagine nobody, a person is living, and that person never need to use the word I. that I is to distinguish from, even if there is one single object beside, for example, a tree is there. Okay, I am separate, the tree is separate. This is me, I, and that is the tree. So, when there is nothing, then the very word I loses its meaning. But remember, it is not death, it is not non-existence. Merely pure existence in the form of san matraha, aham, aham, aham. So, this is the lesson we have to learn, that the Atman, it is there all the time. That is why it is called san matraha. During the waking state, I am experiencing the waking state. During the dream state, I am experiencing the dream state. During the deep sleep state, sushupti state, I am experiencing the sushupti or deep sleep state. I am never absent. But the other things go on changing. When we analyze the three states, that is what the Mandukya Upanishad beautifully analyzes, and with the help of Gaudapada Karikas, and with the further explanation of Shankaracharya's Bhashyas, we should be able to get that knowledge that I am nothing. I have no relationship with these three. I am pure existence, knowledge, bliss. I am Sat, I am Chit, I am Ananda. I am Satchidananda. I am Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. But the sad fact is, unless we analyze and separate ourselves, we will never be able to understand I am Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So, I am present. In fact, it is my consciousness which illumines all these three states continuously and equally. But I have nothing to do with all these three states. Or what does it mean? It means they do not exist without me. What does it mean? It means I am only limiting myself as the three states. They exist and they are not mithya. They are part of me. But considering each state as the only real state, that is called mithya. Mithya means partial knowledge, as I explained many times. When the mithya understands that I am satya, when the snake understands I am the rope, all the fear goes and the ropeness will bring me the tremendous peace and joy. That is called sanmatraha. But it is a pure consciousness creating the three worlds as with name and form, but the worlds are nothing but pure consciousness. And then, when we understand this fact, then our partial knowledge will resolve back into the full knowledge. Just as the snake, the question is, upon daylight, where does the snake disappear? It just disappears. Disappears means the partial knowledge now becomes completely one with the full knowledge. The wave, which seem to be separate. The bubble merges in the wavelet merges in the wave, and the wave merges in the water. As water, it seems to be separate, but as water, it is not separate. As the manifestation of water, it is separate. I hope I am making sense. Just imagine, on a sea, because of the breeze or wind, there will be waves, they are small and big, and there will be bubbles. That is nothing but the effect of the wind and forming a cover like that. But all the time, if you remove the water from the bubble, bubble will burst. If we remove the water from the wavelet disappears. If we remove water from the wave, wave disappears. But wave, bubble disappears, wavelet disappears, wave disappears, water never disappears, because water is the real satya. So what happens when the bubble bursts? It goes back into the wavelet. What happens when the wavelet disappears? It disappears into the wave. And what happens when the wave disappears? Simply it claims, I was water, I am water, but I thought I was separate from the water. Now I know I am the water. And then that knowledge that I am water, and there was never a division in water. It is only appeared to be like water. So, there is no division. I am pure Atman. There is no such thing as I am the waker, I am the dreamer, or I am the sleeper. All these things resolve back into that pure consciousness, or to put it in other words, the partial consciousnesses in the form of waking dream as well as dreamless state, now resolve back. That means they lose their limitations and what remains is pure consciousness, and that is called Turi Avastha. And this is one of the lessons we have to get from here. And then, supposing there is no deep sleep, can we ever get even a glimpse of what the Atman is? Never. Every day God tells, my child, you are none other than me, but you are running away from me, thinking you are somebody else. Ajnana is called running away, as if the snake is running away from the rope. So the Lord, out of his infinite mercy, he gives even to a mosquito. And then imagine, in deep sleep, is there any difference between a mosquito, a dog, a tree, a mountain, a human being, man, woman, child, old man? Absolutely no difference. All resolve back into that watery state. All differences vanish there at that state. This is what God wants us to learn, that every day you are experiencing, every single jiva is experiencing, but only human beings have the capacity to understand it. And when they understand, when they study this deep sleep state, oh, I thought I was the waker, but there is a better state called dream. There is more freedom in dream than in the waking state. You can even fly in the sky in the dream state. But the greatest experience that is granted to us, continuous ananda and absence of all dualities, that is called a deep sleep state. And through that, if we can understand that, if I could get so much joy in the deep sleep, how much more can I get happiness, can I get fearlessness, can I get peacefulness I can get, if I know that I am not again conditioned by waking and dream. Here is a beautiful point. The deep sleep state is limited. Limited by what? By the waking state and dream state. Suppose there were to be no dream state and no waking state, it is only deep sleep state. That will not be a deep sleep state. That will be a samadhi state. So the difference is, conditioned by waking and dream, that state is called dream, dreamless nidrasthiti, sushupti. Unconditioned by waking and dream, that same sushupti really is nothing but pure samadhi state. So this is the great lesson, that experiencing deep sleep state, we can have a glimpse into what is called nirvikalpa samadhi. So another lesson we learn, whatever is there outside the dream state, dreamless state, that is all mithya. Mithya means limited, very limited. Deep sleep state is less limited than waking or dream state, because there is no object, there is no time to limit, there is no kala parichinna, desha parichinna, vastu parichinna, there is no paricheda at all. And that is a great lesson for us to remember. That is called Atman is beyond time, space and causation. So we have to understand it. We are all bound creatures, bound by that something called time matrix. It's a beautiful cinema called Matrix. It's all time. Time is divided into or understood as past, present and future. But one important point we have to understand here is, when we think deeply about time, supposing an event happened yesterday and you are recollecting it today, did you go back to yesterday? That's impossible. You have brought back that past and made it present. And then you are imagining, if I mix these elements, I will get this result as a scientist in a laboratory. And I have not yet mixed. But if I do that, I will get certain result. And that mixing and the obtainment of that result is in future. But that future, like the past, has been brought into the present and imagined to be, it should be like this, provided we follow the law of cause and effect, which is invariable. These are some of the important points are there about time matrix, which we will discuss in our next class. But the point to remember, why am I bringing this time matrix? Because time, space and causation, they are like a triangle. One angle cannot be without the other angle. Where there is one, the other two are also present. And in deep sleep, we get out naturally, automatically, without any effort whatsoever, into that something which is beyond this time-space causation matrix. That is what is called mind. We go beyond the mind. And what does it prove? A study and analysis of the deep sleep tells us conclusively that time, space and causation are just imagined mithya. It is false perceptions created by the mind. And that is what is called bondage. Mukti, moksha is another name to go beyond time, space and causation. And these are the wonderful points. We will discuss about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.